Tonight we're going to talk about the old man versus the new man. And since we're in a new year, we're going to talk about putting on the new man. And the new man is the new is the body, soul, and spirit man. Is the Christian man. Is the born again man. The old man is the old crummy. Yeah, I said, who's the old man? I'm not talking about me. Anyway, if you go to Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 10, in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be made whole. And by the way, there's a figure of speech at work here. The mouth and the heart are interchangeable. It really means mouth and heart. It's not just one or the other. You confess with your mouth, which also implies that you're also confessing with your heart. All right? Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. In other words, make Jesus your Lord. And you probably heard me talk about the fact that it doesn't say Jesus Christ, Christ, Jesus, or Christ. It's literally talking about the man. The man who walked on the earth, who we can identify with, who had the opportunity to sin, but he didn't sin. That's who we confess as Lord. The man who was tempted, the man who could have sinned, but the man who did not, who made a conscious choice not to sin. That's who we confess. That's who we decide to follow, is the man. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So at this point, you get born again, you receive Holy Spirit. You become a new person. You become literally a new creature, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 17... 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And that word creature is literally creation or being. And new is new in quality. You're a new creature. You used to be body and soul. And now you are body, soul, and spirit. You literally are a new type of man. A new species of man, I've heard it said. Body, soul, and spirit. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are come as new. So here you are. You're a new creature, right? And so what God tells us is, you know, that old man that you were before you were born again, get rid of him. Put him off. Throw him away. Even the Bible even says to kill him. Mortify him. To kill the old man. Get rid of him. Get rid of the old man. The old man is the old person of body and soul. That's who the old man is. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 2, talks about who the old man is. And he's a pretty bad guy. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who's that? The prince of the power of the air is not Jesus. The prince of the power of the air is the devil. Because, guess what? The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You know, the devil has children. It says right there. Wherein in times past you, and this is the word, ye is the word y'all. Remember, when it's in King James, it means y'all. So he's talking to everybody. You all walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all, not just y'all, but us, I'm included, and Paul included himself, we all had our conversation or lifestyle in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, listen to that, by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's the old man. The old man is that man that's selfish. Really, for the most part, and I'll make a generalization. I can say that every sin has its root in selfishness, but I will say this, that most sins have their root in selfishness. That the old man the man of body and soul is by nature selfish. You know what's the embodiment of an old man, of the old man nature? A little child. Think about it. A little child, say 2, 3, 4 years old. Because everything revolves around that child. Right? It's me, 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 mine, mine, mine. I want, I want, I want. That's the embodiment of the old man is a little child. Because a little child is by nature just very selfish for the most part. Well, that's what the old man is. I mean, think about it. If you steal, that's selfishness because you're taking something from somebody else. I mean, think of, you know, other sins. They're selfish in nature. What do I want? What's good for me? I don't care about you. What's good for me? Stealing, lying, killing. That's pretty selfish. That's about the height of selfishness, right? That's who the old man is. As I was thinking about this subject, I started thinking about, you know, the things that I still do that are part of my old man nature. You know, we all have, you know, we all are a product of our environment for the, you know, in some respects. I mean, we are a product of our upbringing, our raising, you know, either through our parents or our older brothers and sisters or other people that are influential in our lives. And people can influence us either good or bad. And I got to thinking about some of the things that I still do that's part of my old man nature that I needed to put off. We went out and played golf today, and a little bit of my old man nature came up when I started to miss shots and top the ball and, you know, hit the ball out of bounds. And you know, what's funny is then I saw my son doing it. He was hitting the ball, and he was getting mad, and yeah, it's really, especially when it's your own kid doing it, because they probably learned it from you. And you know, we've had some challenges around here, probably the last, we've had some challenges around here where, you know, some of us have started to make rude comments to each other, have started to be sarcastic. Hey, you know what? Let me tell you something. As I look around the room, I don't see many people that aren't guilty of that, okay? Adults included.
Yeah, Grandma, stop it.
Yeah. You know, the sarcasm. I mean, sarcasm really very rarely has place, you know, in a Christian household. I'm not saying that it isn't. I mean, sarcasm, like many things, is a figure of speech. And then it can have its place, but not very often. And so, I mean, I'm thinking about all the things that, you know, that people do that's part of their old man nature that we need to get rid of. I mean, can anybody think of some other things? Bad temper. I mean, all the character flaws that man has, right? Greed. Well, and that's part of the old man nature. I mean, really, if you think about it, a lot of gossip is, you know, you're talking about people almost to make yourself feel better. You know, it kind of makes you feel better. God, look how screwed up that person is.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. I was going to go there next. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, and then let's look at putting off the old man. And here we are, like Rosa said, in Ephesians is written to those that we call mature in the Word, to the faithful in Christ Jesus, people who have got some seasoning, people who have some maturity in the Bible. And here Paul is still having to say in verse 17, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth not walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity." Look at that vanity. And what is vanity? Selfishness. Vanity is me, me, me. That really, sin is rooted in selfishness. "As other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling," and past feeling literally means they don't care anymore. They don't even care. They're beyond feeling. "Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness." And lasciviousness is one of those neat biblical words that you're never going to see any other place, probably, which means excesses, a life of excess. "To work all uncleanness with greediness." There it is again. There's another selfish thing, greediness. "But," verse 20, "you have not so learned Christ." You didn't learn that in Christ, did you, about all that greediness and lasciviousness and uncleanness and vanity? Verse 21, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Christ, that you put off concerning the former conversation or the former lifestyle, the old man, which is what? Look at this. Corrupt, according to deceitful lusts. There's another word that's selfishness, lust. Lust is selfish. Whether you're lusting after things or whatever, it's always selfish. What do I want? I don't care about you. It's all about what I want. So that you put off the former conversation, the former lifestyle, the old man. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. And by the way, to put off is to like take off a coat or a cloak, and to put on is the same. To put on, clothe yourself in righteousness. Clothe yourself with the new man. You put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Don't give the devil a place to reside. That's the word place. There's the word topos, which literally means a location. Let him, verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good that he may have to give. The opposite of selfishness. Not thinking about yourself, you're thinking about other people. That he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication, don't let garbage come out of your mouth. That word corrupt there literally means vomit. Let no corrupt communication, putrid communication, proceed out of your mouth. But instead do what? That which is good to the use of edifying, of building up, of making someone feel better, that it may minister what? Minister grace to the hearers. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And I guess if we've had an issue around the house the past, during the Christmas break, it was that. Is that, like I said, there was a lot of sarcasm, a lot of, kind of nasty things being said back and forth. A lot of comments. Hey, if you speak up, if the shoe fits, wear it. If it doesn't, it's okay. Just learn from it, okay? I'm not pointing fingers or naming names.
Stop pointing at me. It wasn't even me. It was all you.
See, here we are. See, we're still engaging in this.
Stop pointing at me.
We're still engaging in this. Okay. You should be saying things that bless people, that edify people, not that cut people down or that make them feel bad. You should be saying things that build people up. You know, you watch TV, and how many TV shows are based on people cutting each other down? Every show. Almost every show is based on that. Most comedy sitcoms are based on cutting each other down.
Insults.
Insults, right. All right, let's keep reading. Verse 30, and grieve not... Yeah, Family Feud isn't based on that, is it? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now listen, let's keep reading. Talking about putting off the old man. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. Clamor is where you would shout somebody down. You know, you get in a shout match with somebody. That's clamor. And evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Put away that bitterness, hard-heartedness, wrath where you're just seething with anger. Anger where you want revenge, where you buy, I'm going to get them back. Clamor, evil speaking, quit talking bad. With all malice, and be ye kind to one another instead of these other things. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Let's keep reading. Verse 5, chapter 5, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. As Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Instead of being mean and angry, you're supposed to walk in love. You're supposed to be kind. And this kind here means kind in spite of others' reaction. Even if somebody else isn't kind, we are supposed to be kind. We're supposed to be tender-hearted, compassionate. That's what that means, to be compassionate. And to forgive. And to walk in love. That's what we're supposed to do. So that old man, get rid of him. take him off and put on the new man. And I know there's in all, and it's the way it is in all of us, there's little pieces of the old man still in our brain. He's still there, trying to come up out, kind of rear his ugly head, get rid of him. Get rid of the old man. Right?
Yeah.
Let's go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that, like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. If we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. In other words, by walking in your new life. Knowing this, verse 6, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. The old man is dead. Leave him there. When you get born again, you become a new creature. And that old man, you've got the ability to put the old man away. And you know, the thing is if you need help with stuff like this, you can go to God and you can ask Him to help you. You can ask God to help you deal with, you know, some of the issues that we deal with in life. I mean, sometimes we build habits over a lifetime. Like, you know, using sarcasm and things like that. That they're habits. That's how we interact with people. But you can ask God to help you deal with some of these issues. And He'll do it. Let's look at verse 11. Likewise, reckon you also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign. Don't let sin rule in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. There's that word again, that selfish word, lust. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. You know, put that old man away. Resist. The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist those old man thoughts and those old man actions that, you know, the devil still wants you to do. He still wants you to walk with your old man. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2. Romans, Corinthians, Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You know, if you've got Christ in you, that's the new man. That's the man who wants to walk according to the Word. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. That old man is gone. That old man is putting to death. Leave him in the grave. He's gone. He's dead. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, if, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, and actually this could be rendered since. Since you are risen with Christ. And you are risen with Christ, right? As we saw in Romans. Since you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things above and not on the things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Mortify therefore. Put them to death. Put it to death. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence. That's a 69-cent worded evil concupiscence. What does that mean? Evil concubine. Sure does sound bad, but I have it, destructively evil passion, lust, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Verse 6. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. In the which you also walked. You walked, you did this stuff too. You also walked in some time when you lived in them. See, we're all natural men. You know, we all have a man of body and soul. And the natural man is by nature what? He's by nature selfish. You know, in some respects, you almost can't help it. You know, the Bible says that you were conceived in sin. From the very moment you're conceived, you were a natural man until you got born again. And the natural man is by nature selfish. You almost can't help it sometimes. But with God's help, you can. You can make a difference. But now, verse 8. Now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Sounds like what we read in Ephesians, isn't it? Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Remember, we have Christ in us. That's the image that we should try to portray, is Christ in us. You know, people should just know you're a Christian. They should just know it. You shouldn't even have to tell people. They should just know it. Verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect or the chosen of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on charity, the love of God, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. This is the new man. This is how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be kind, loving, forgiving, thankful, putting up with each other. I mean, we're all going to make mistakes and say rude things or do rude things from time to time. It's just going to happen. And so what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to just let it roll off your back. Forbearing one another and forgiving. Putting up with and forgiving. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And this is really kind of a neat chapter. I just wanted to finish it out. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. You know, just because you can lord over somebody doesn't mean you're supposed to, you know, treat them poorly. Verse 22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So all of these things we can do. You know, this is part of putting on the new man. This is part of walking according to the Word. And really what it's about is about getting rid of selfishness. Stop thinking about yourself and start thinking about other people. And let's wrap it up in Romans chapter 12. And remember what your motive is. Your motive is to do the right thing because it is the right thing. Not because you're fearful of any consequences, but because it is the right thing to do. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And that word present there is the same thing as yield, that we saw in Romans chapter 6, to yield your members as instruments of righteousness. That means to furnish by free will. So you present your body, you present yourself, not just your body, obviously, but your mind as well. Again, it's implied. Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or well-reasoned service. That word reasonable is actually the word logikos, which is your logical. In other words, your thought out. After thinking about what you should do and reasoning it through, the logical thing to do is to present your body, to present yourself to God for His use, to yield yourself as members of righteousness. That's your reasonable service. That's your well-thought-out service. And be not conformed, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. Because what's the world? It's a place full of deceitful lusts. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be transformed. Be transformed by the Word. Be transformed by putting the Word on, putting off the old man, putting on the new man. Be transformed. And that word transformed is the same as the word where we get the word metamorphosis. It's just a naturally occurring transformation. It's like a fruit growing on a tree.
Like a butterfly.
The butterfly really has nothing to do with the transformation. It's a naturally occurring transformation. And so as you put the Word on in your heart and in your mind, you will begin to change and reflect the Word on the outside as you put the Word on in the inside. Let's look at Psalm. Okay, we're going to close it out in Psalm 119. So put off the old man. Take him off. Get rid of him. Put him to death. Put on the new man. The new man is the Christ in you. The man who would walk according to what Christ would do. Who would walk in love. Who would walk in forgiveness. Who would walk with long-suffering. Who would be tolerant of others. Who wouldn't just be tolerant, but wouldn't say anything, or maybe even think bad thoughts about the other person. Who would be tolerant and loving and forgiving and put the Word on in their heart. So Psalm 119 in verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. O let me not wander from Thy commandments. Thy words have I hid in my heart. And that word hid literally means to store up, to hoard. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. As you put the Word on in your heart, you will naturally change. Your thoughts, your actions will begin to change to reflect the Word in your heart. And remember what your heart is biblically. It's the innermost part of your being. It's really the commitment center of your being. It's the innermost part of who you are. That's your heart. So you hide God's Word in your heart. Put it on in your heart. Store it up. Hoard it there. And as you do that, you will begin to reflect on the outside the Christ in you. And you'll certainly begin to walk in the new man. Okay?